Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's just gone 10 minutes past the hour of 9. You are listening to Radio Islam International. My name is Habib Bobat, and inshallah I'll be keeping you company this morning right up till 10 a.m. We speak to Mufti Meng today once again, and the topic at discussion is challenges facing the youth. Challenges facing the youth. And we'll be speaking to Mufti Saab with regards to the solutions also. The numbers to keep in mind, 011-854-1548, or you can WhatsApp on the studio number 072-786-1548, or alternatively, the SMS line 48855. Stay tuned to Radio Islam International. It's 15 after 9. You are listening to Spiritual Voyage on Radio Islam International, and we do have Mufti Meng on the program, alhamdulillah. Today we are discussing challenges facing the youth. Last week we were speaking about challenges facing the young couples, the newly wedded couples. And today we're keeping in sync with the same theme. We're moving on to different challenges, and this time challenges facing the youth that are not married, that are still to get married, and some of the problems that they face in their lives. We can say, we can have a healthy discussion. At the same time, we can also share our ideas, inshallah, and we can create awareness within our own community and take the message forward, inshallah. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We trust that you are well this morning, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah.
So, Mufti Saab, let's start off. What are some of the challenges that the youth face nowadays?
I think there are many challenges that are faced by the youth, and a lot of it has to do with peer pressure, as well as the environment that has changed. The environment over time, you know, it's not ideal. It's not sometimes an Islamic environment. And this is why I'd like to think that one of the most important factors to actually safeguarding a person is to be living in a good neighborhood and to have good company. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam indeed speaks about good company, and he speaks about how important it is to be with the right people. The Quran also speaks about it. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqin. O you who believe, be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and be with those who are known as as-sadiqun, those who are truthful, those who are upright, those who have a brilliant character and conduct. So we have, say for example, a problem of materialism that has overtaken us, where everything becomes materialistic. You know, the aims and objectives of a lot of the young children is to have this, to have that, the latest of this, the best of that, to be like this, to be like that. So there's a lot of pressure in that regard. I think that's one of the biggest challenges when it comes to modern day time. You know, we're not talking of the more difficult and the more serious habits. We will get to that, inshallah. But the one that affects a lot of people, even good people, those who sometimes read salah, those who are quite truthful, those whose character and conduct is good, but you find they are very materialistic in their outlook. Very, very materialistic.
Just to pick up on the environment and the good company, Mufti Saab, alhamdulillah, you're well-traveled. You've traveled to many countries in the world. Some communities, alhamdulillah, like, for example, Indonesia, there's a good dini environment, a strong dini vibe. But then you get other remote areas in the world where maybe one or two or three families in the community that are Muslims. And you have youngsters growing up in such environments. So you've seen both sides. What is your advice in such matters?
I think, there are challenges definitely that people may face when they live all together and when they live in an Islamic environment. But in the long term, it is far better to have done that, because you would save your children, you would save yourself all this extra headache of when the children grow a little bit older and they've mixed with the wrong people, and then you have major issues. So yes, indeed, I do know, and I definitely would promote it for people to try their best to live close to the masjid, for example, close to a madrasa, close to a decent school, close by to perhaps family, or perhaps those who are decent and good. But when it comes to those who do live in that particular environment, they will face challenges. So The difficulty with us is we're not happy. We're never happy. So when we live in such an environment, we start finding fault. You know, it's difficult, it's hard. You've got family, you've got relatives, you've got issues with this one, issues with that one. You go to the masjid, you know, you're bound to have an issue with one or two people. Sometimes you can have differences with this one, that one. So there are different types of issues that you will have to deal with. But holistically, it is far, far better to live in an environment that is calm and Islamic. So mashallah, yes, I definitely agree. A place like Lanesia is a gift. And it's not only Lanesia. Here in South Africa, there are so many suburbs where you actually have a semi-Muslim environment, in the sense that it's predominantly Muslim. Stone throw away, there's a masjid, mashallah. A little bit further, there's perhaps a school where you could send your children to that has an Islamic bias, if not a proper Islamic school. You have madrasas, you have ulama in your midst, and so on. So beautiful. What a great gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people then decide, you know what, we want to shift out. Now, I'm not talking of permissibility or prohibition. We're just talking of the challenges that they will face when they go out are far greater. They will have to start making arrangements for their children. They will definitely face the void that they will have to fill, and the gap that they will have to actually try and fill is not going to be easy. So if you are going to another suburb, for example, in order to uplift them, like I do know of some of the ulama and some people who've gone to other suburbs in order to establish masjids or madrasas or do some good work, in that particular case, it will definitely be something worthwhile. But if you're going because, say, your work is taking you there, or for some other reason, some people have said we found bargains, for example, in terms of homes in certain areas, and perhaps they were also looking at safety and security. It's not prohibited to shift, but definitely it brings back or it brings a lot of other challenges. And one of the worst things that the children are getting hooked onto today is the issue of intoxicants and drugs, and the lifestyle of clubbing and, you know, spending the night doing wrong things. That is also a major, major challenge faced by the youth. So if we were in an environment that was predominantly Muslim, there will be challenges, definitely, but I don't think that they will be of such a great nature that we may face if we were elsewhere.
22 After Line, you are listening to The Spiritual Voyage on Radio Islam International. We are discussing this matter with Mufti Ismail Meng, and the topic is challenges facing the youth. You can interact with us on 011-854-1548. Alternatively, the studio WhatsApp number is 0727861548 or 48855. Mufti Sahab, picking up on the issue of materialism, where does it stem from?
Subhanallah, from the very beginning, Shaytan is the one who promised that he is going to lead people astray. You know, it is reported Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayhi has written in Al-Bidayah wa Al-Nihayah that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and just before the ruh, the soul was blown in, Iblis comes to inspect this, like a statue-like lying down. And he saw that there is a cavity, there is a stomach, and immediately he knew that if I fill this thing, I'll be able to control this human being. So that is mentioned in one of the narrations. And to be honest, a lot of people, because they watch others, because they've grown up, because television, because the media, because social media, everything else bombards us every time to have this, to have that, to go out here, go out there. Meaning, you know, you have a beautiful advert sometimes regarding going on holiday for such a cheap amount and so on. It becomes something that we aim for beyond a limit that is considered acceptable. So while it's not wrong to own things and to have good things, but it would be wrong to make that our main focus. We put pressure on our parents, we put pressure on our spouses sometimes, and it becomes really, really difficult and tough. So obviously, it's got to do with lack of understanding of the Islamic injunction, whereby Allah says, yes, you may enjoy what the dunya has to offer on condition that it does not overtake or it does not affect your link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't let the love of the dunya exceed the love that you have of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we don't have a deep Islamic understanding or the knowledge or the people around us don't live an exemplary life, it becomes very difficult for us to understand what exactly is required of us. I can give you an example. When we send our children to the schools, a lot of the times you have other children who bring their own things, sometimes watches and phones and gadgets and so many things. Today we have in the electronic age, we have so much of the latest, and the motor vehicles that their parents come to drop them off with, and the other children are busy watching, and they think that that is the aim, this is where we should get to, this is how it should be. Now, if you have, for example, an environment that is Islamic, we will watch someone read the Quran, we will listen to someone, for example, achieve goodness. Everyone is praising this person and the way Islamically they've achieved. That encourages the children without us actually talking to the children about it initially. They will listen to the way this person is being praised, the way this person is, for example, doing some good work, and they will want to be like that. So it's also got to do definitely with what we see and what we listen to.
So, Mufti Saab, as parents, are we perhaps not setting the standards so high for our children themselves?
I think sometimes the amount of quality Islamic time that we spend with our children is actually worth looking into. The reason is many of us, firstly, we don't spend enough time. Forget about quality time. We don't spend enough time with our children. We don't communicate with them as we should be in a lot of cases. We don't talk to them. We leave it to one parent sometimes, and a lot of it rotates around, picking up from school, dropping off, make sure they're fed, make sure they're clothed, make sure they're warm, make sure they're bathed, make sure they've gone to sleep on time, and even sometimes maybe make sure they've fulfilled their salah, etc., etc. But when we say quality Islamic time, have you sat with your children trying to read some good Islamic stories to them, trying to perhaps go through some Islamic program with them, trying to perhaps teach them the Quran in a beautiful way, listen to their Quran? Don't just ask them, how was the madrasa today? And they'll tell you, oh, it was okay, or this Maulana did that, or that one did this. And we start getting upset with the Maulana rather than with, understanding that a child can actually come and create a tale. Before people used to say children don't lie, but I promise you I've witnessed little children tell lies sometimes. So it just depends. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. I do think we as parents play a very big role in the way our children look at life. I definitely do think that. And I believe that it's our responsibility to help them and guide them, look at it in the correct way by us leading a life that is exemplary. A lot of the parents themselves are running behind the dunya in a way that they don't even have time for, let alone for their children, but even for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make it easy for us. So yes, I do agree that the parents, we need to actually do much better, myself included. We need to do much more to try and guide the children in this hyper-materialistic age.
Mufti Saab, a message comes through. It reads, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Marana, I need advice for a teenager. He's 17 years of age and is yearning for the life of girls and going out with friends, etc., which we as parents are having a dilemma with. Others are advising that just leave him and let him learn on his own. But if we do that, he goes too far. I've tried explaining, begging, shouting, and just not trying to understand.
I think 17 years, okay, let's deal with the issue, because it should have started much earlier than waiting for the child to become 17 years of age. Normally, a parent will always be a parent. Some people say just become friends. Yes, become friends, but with a line where the child knows that this is my parent, but we are very close. We're very close. We can say anything. So when your child from a young age learns to talk to you, to communicate, they will tell you their feelings. They will tell you a lot. If you react in the correct way, they'll tell you even more. When you react in a wrong way, they will tell you very little. And what I mean by a wrong way is start screaming, yelling, shouting, abusing, swearing, threatening. All that doesn't help. Especially with the new generation, that will actually make matters worse. You need to speak to them, you need to help them, guide them, talk to them. They've made a mistake, tell them, you know what, my son, you've made a mistake, you've hurt me a lot, but inshallah, you are my son, I'm going to try and help you with this, and I'm going to try and show you how best you can do things. Or, if the child, for example, as the child is growing up, children need friends. They need to play with people. They need to, they need to, for example, interact with people of a similar age group as well. So it's best sometimes to have your own home as a base for that play, rather than letting them be sent out. So you need to develop a relationship with the parents of the children whom your children have befriended. And in fact, it should be a step ahead that you need to have guided your child to make friends with the children of a certain person or people whom you know that, look, their children would probably be of a decent level. And, you know, there may be a chance that even though you think that the parents are good, but the children may not be that good for your children. But it is obviously easier if you have a link with those parents such that when they're meeting at your house or they're playing at your house, and they're playing at, or they're, for example, meeting at someone else's house, at least you can have a little bit of that supervision where you know that there is an adult, someone elderly who is responsible, who's actually, you know, going to oversee this so that they don't end up doing anything absurd or unacceptable. So I do think that, yes, if we try and, for example, put in some, you know, it's not rules and regulations whereby you just recite them and read them, and it's like reading out the riot act for these children here, where they will then breathe behind your back. No, no, no. What it's got to do, it's got to do with speaking to the parents and speaking at the same time to your child and those children, befriending that whole little circle of children, and being able to know exactly what they're doing and guiding it. I remember in the UK when I visited many years back, there was a certain alim, quite strict, and he was speaking to me about one of his children, and he said, you know, I believe that television is prohibited, right? But the reason why I brought one is because every time my child wants to watch football, he goes out of the house, he says, I'm going to my friend's house, I'm going to watch TV, and he actually goes and watch the match, according to him, and he comes back 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, and sometimes I have my doubts as to what's going on. So I told him, look, if you want to go and watch football, you'd rather tell your friends to come here, and you can watch it here in this same house. So he says, look, as much as I disagreed with this whole thing, but the good point that came out of it is now they are in my house. I know what they're doing. I know that they're here. I know what time they finish, and so on and so forth. I'm not encouraging people to buy or not to buy a television, but what I am saying is sometimes we need to think up solutions of the difficulties we are facing, and the solutions that have worked with one child may not be exactly the same solutions that will work with another child because of the nature of that particular child.
Mm-hmm. We've got a call online. Sister, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum salam. I have a question.
Gee, go ahead.
If a girl was engaged to a pious man, the pious man went out of line after 2 years. He has made tawbah and came to Islam. If he proposes to the same girl, what does she have to do?
Jazakumullah for the sister. Move this up.
I think it will be studied on merit at that particular moment. It's very sad that, you know, you do have people who sometimes are affected by shaitan. I mean, everyone actually has whisperings of the devil, and what they do with that is different from person to person. So if a person has proposed and you thought that they were pious and so on, and then they went out of line, obviously it's up to you if you want to go ahead with it or not. Generally, people would advise that you don't. And later on, if the person did come back onto track, it all depends on what exactly it was that took them off the track. Because if it was, for example, and this is another very great challenge of the youth, the issue of drugs and intoxicants, then, you know, people will give you different advice. Some people will tell you, don't go there because, you know, the relapse, the probability of relapse is almost 80 to 90%. And others might argue that, no, that's not true. But it all depends on whether the person has come out of that problem or difficulty, what exactly it was. And normally I believe in seeking the counsel of those who are genuine and those who are slightly older. You know, genuine meaning, say, family members, some perhaps scholars of Islam, someone else. You can ask them, seek their guidance regarding a particular person as well, regarding your intentions, especially when it comes to something of marriage. I think then we will be able to get the correct guidance. And that brings us to another challenge, and that is sometimes for marriage we are taught by our environment that you just look at beauty and money. Those are two things that people look at. And wallahi, we've thrown the sunnah straight out of the window. You talk about deen and people say, what? This person doesn't even have, you know, a house or a car. Well, they've got a stable job, for example, and maybe they might not be earning the millions, but I promise you, the daughters who are the happiest today are those who sometimes come from homes or married into homes where they are not, you know, so luxurious in terms of the dunya, but they have proper deen, they have beautiful respect, they have character and conduct, they look after their wives in a way that they would look after a queen, for example. So it doesn't mean that those who are wealthy are not good people. But all I'm saying is we need to follow that hadith once again to prioritize by giving preference to the deen rather than just looks and for example, wealth. Mm-hmm. You know, as soon as someone proposes for your daughter, the first question that is being asked today is, what does he have? How much does he have? Mm-hmm. Or what does he earn? What... It's all materialistic questions. This is where we go back to that first issue we raised of materialism. Our criteria of getting our daughters married is, will she be comfortable? What security does she have? Trust me, if the man is a proper mu'min, Muslim, responsible, then the security that Allah will provide is far, far greater than the security that the rand, which has dropped and may continue dropping, or it may go this way, that way. Like we say, there is no certainty either way. We make dua for it to improve, but you don't know what may happen. That security that will be provided by the rand and the dollar will never ever be as powerful as Allah's surety that if you go for the deen, I provide the security.
Mm-hmm. It's now 24 minutes to the hour of 10. We're going to go for a commercial break. When we return, inshallah, we'll continue. We are speaking to Mufti Menk, and the topic under discussion is challenges facing the youth. We've discussed the importance of the good environment. We've also spoke about the fact that peer pressure leads to a lot of other negativity, and more importantly, we spoke about materialism in the first segment of the program. Mufti Sahib, here's a very sad case coming through. It reads, recently, I was called up by the school, and the school picked up that my daughter is involved in pornography. What is more sad is that I have seen pictures of her being nude, and this was sent to others. Kindly help me in this crisis.
It is very, very sad when a parent hears something that they never expected from their child. A lot of the parents would firstly be in denial, but obviously, when they see the evidence, it shatters them. It completely shatters them. And I want to address the little, you know, the youngsters or the young people who are listening in. Please don't do that. You know, firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the duty we have to our Maker. Secondly, your parents. You don't need to shatter them to this degree. Imagine a person looks after their child and they grow, you know, they contribute to the decent upbringing of that child, and suddenly because of friends they've had, because of pressure out there, we are definitely living in a hyper-sexualized environment where everything is about sex. Very sad to say it so openly, but if we don't discuss it, who is going to discuss it? So we are living in that type of environment where you know, they're exposed to it every day, in and out. And other children, for example, who might be more exposed than our children, whom we may have kept a little bit away, they can introduce our children in a way that our children then become more deeply engrossed in such than the children who initially introduced them. So it's very sad. First thing we need to do is we need to seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make a lot of tawbah, make a lot of istighfar on our own tawbah, our own istighfar. Read 2 rak'at of salah and ask Allah, cry to Him. And it shouldn't just happen one day, but every day. We cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then we address the child. Like I said earlier, today if you were to scream and yell and beat up and do all sorts of, these physical and abusive remedies to the children, it will have a negative effect and it may result in making the matter worse. So you need to communicate, you need to engage, you need to convince, you need to talk to, and you also need to know that you have to help your child. So as much as the child has embarrassed you, as much as there is an embarrassment for everyone, no, pick up the pieces, hug your child, tell them how much they have hurt you, how much you feel shattered and so on. But the fact is, you're still my child. I'm going to help you through this, inshallah. Don't ever do this again. And here we're talking of a school child involved in pornography. Trust me, I have had cases I've dealt with where 50, 60-year-old people are involved in the same. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the negative environment. Like we said, it's hyper-sexualized, so much so that when they want to advertise any small thing, they'll put a naked woman for you there. Also, nowadays with the social media at our fingertips, there are so many people, so many different sites that make it easy for children to access that which is pornographic. Even the television, so many different channels, so many different ordinary movies, for example, even if they say that it's fit for, you know, 13-year-old viewing or something, or family viewing, they have in it that which they wouldn't have had about a decade back. It's become so unacceptable. Over and above that, you have exposure to gay behavior, exposure to so many, to pedophiles, exposure to the list is endless. Mm. So we need to ensure that we talk to our child, we try and counsel them, we help them. And one mistake that a lot of people are making as Muslimin is when we take our children for counseling or when we go for counseling, we sometimes forget the fact that the person we're taking them to counseling is actually a non-Muslim who doesn't understand the values of Islam. Mm. So they might offer you some very good points, but not every point is going to be an acceptable point in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have people who go to marriage counselors, we have people who go to counselors for various other aspects regarding the difficulties they are facing in their homes or with their children, forgetting that, look, there is an Islamic factor that needs to be heavily considered. And this is why we try and make use of those who are Muslimin, and we try and make use of those who have dedicated their lives for this type of counseling and so on. And maybe we should be having, and I'm sure the Jamiat or others must be having, a list of counselors and ulama who will do that for you, and their phone numbers and so on. Mm. It's important we make use of this. And I do believe that there is a confidentiality clause. I spoke about it in one of my talks, because a lot of people say, no, we don't trust the Muslims, because if we tell them what our problem is, they're going to tell the whole world. I'd rather go to a non-Muslim. Well, I would like to address this in two ways, by saying we who have been entrusted with listening to the issues and problems and difficulties people are facing, fear Allah regarding the amana and the trust of these particular words. Don't ever, ever release them to anyone. You take them to the grave if need be. And as for those who are seeking the guidance, I am sure that you will meet people who have the same amount of confidentiality that you are searching for. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. Like I said, it's very, very sad. And the sister, we make dua for you. May Allah make it easy for you to go through this. It is an embarrassment, but you have to pick the pieces up. You have to deal with your child in a beautiful way. You have to give the child courage and hope. What I have found through my counseling is a lot of the times, and I'm sad to say this, the child is lacking something, maybe the attention at home, maybe the time and so on. I'm not trying to blame the mother or the father or the environment at home, but we have to look into it. Let's not live in denial. We have to ask ourselves, what is it that I am not providing for my child? And don't ask it in a proud way. You know, some people go to their child, what am I not giving you that you have to do this? You know, you need to quietly introspect. And I wanted to talk about the beauty of introspection, where our character, our conduct, and a lot of things we do during the day would improve if every day we thought about what we did through the day, how we did it, how we spoke to people, how they spoke to us, what issues we are facing, and how we can deal with it in a way that, had the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam been around, he would have given us that type of advice. So basically, if you do that on a daily basis, you'll be able to improve yourself. search for where you went wrong or search for ways of how you can improve even a decent day where you think nothing went wrong, but how can I improve still with my child, with my spouse, with this, with that, with my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my link with the Quran, and etc., etc. Inshallah, that would really, really help. This introspection is something we cannot do without.
We've got a call online, brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Musa, what I want to say is, you know, what is very important is to get the children involved in hobbies and reading. And, you know, it has a very positive effect on your mind. And now, you know, talking on the pornography, it's such an addiction that the medical professor released a report stating that if you're addicted to pornography, a certain part of the brain cell gets affected. That is why they cannot reason, nor can identify right from wrong, or from wrong and right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my contribution.
Jazakallah. Much appreciated.
Jazakallah khair, mashallah.
Jazakallah.
Mufti Sahib, just picking up on the pornography issue, does it not create the awareness, or does it not create the concern within parents that how are they regulating the technology usage within their homes or when the children are going out?
I think that's extremely important, where we speak to our children and we make sure that when we give them access to the internet initially in the early years, it needs to be a controlled access, you know. And we will have to search for various types of applications where we can monitor or block off those sites that are rated, you know, unacceptable, bearing in mind that what is acceptable to people who may not be Muslim might not be exactly on the same standards that we would be requiring. So we would need a little bit more in terms of monitoring, but that monitoring needs to come, like I said, with convincing, with good speech, with explaining. The difficulty is we just lay a rule like we are dictators in the house. You have every right Islamically to dictate the pace. But if you want to be effective in that home, communicate with the inhabitants of that home in a beautiful way so they are convinced that what you are doing is the proper way. Tomorrow when they have their own children, they will want to use a similar method that dad used or mom used because we loved it, the way she did it, the way she spoke to us was so nice. We didn't want to go onto these sites. The brother made mention of hobbies. You know, many people have a lot to say regarding sport and regarding various other hobbies. And I have seen in my life that indeed, I would prefer for a child to be hooked onto something like cricket, for example, than to be hooked onto nightclubs and to be wasting time drinking and pornographing and everything else that is totally unacceptable. So as much as being hooked onto cricket may not be ideal, but to be honest, it is a very, very good option in today's age, especially when it comes to what is going on, you know, around us. There are some scholars who speak strongly about it, but I think a person who is a little bit younger, maybe I'd like to think, and someone who's interacted with a lot of young people, I feel they need that particular time that they have at hand to be utilized in a way that is not destructive. It might not be the most constructive way, but it's not destructive. Now, what I mean by this is that you're not going to be able to get every single child involved in becoming a Hafiz, going and studying Alim, doing this, doing that. You know, not every child's inclinations are going to be in that way. So you have to try and look at what they want and help occupy them with that which is definitely not going to be destructive. Because before, I might have said, help occupy them with that which is constructive only. Now the thing is, what if their mind is not in that direction at all? So the minimum is, help occupy them with that which is not destructive. So some people take their children out, you know, they go on an outing. It's very important to go on a little outing once in a while. You bond with them, you have a picnic somewhere, you might have gone on holiday if you can afford it. And it must be tailor-made to your budget. You know, you don't have to fly overseas every time, but you can perhaps take a drive to the lake somewhere nearby or something of that nature. You might want to go and visit family members, and don't make it boring for the children. Make it good for them. See what they like and so on. So there are so many ways of trying to address this matter. The issue of pornography, yes, indeed, it does affect the mind and the brain, and it becomes, it definitely does have a major, massive effect and impact on a person's character and conduct. And sometimes we've known of people who are relatively pious, who, when I say relatively pious, I mean they won't miss a salah, they won't do something major besides the fact that they're hooked onto pornography. I've had a lot of cases of that nature where people are decent, but they can't get their wives complain or husbands complain, you know what, this person here, every time I check, and this is what they're after, and this is what they're doing. That is a disaster. It is something major. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen the ummah, strengthen all of us to be able to quit whatever bad ways and habits we have. Ameen.
Let's go to the lines. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Ji, my brother.
Jeez, I have a contribution here.
Ji.
I see that most of the young children, in fact, they go to a very, very mad stage. They usually go to a mad stage. They go to a stage that is completely uncontrollable. So my advice is to us as a parents, maybe the only solution to this is to turn to Allah Ta'ala. Even if it means to give out maybe 5 friends or something in the sadaqah for the child, maybe that will help, because we cannot be always with them. They go to different people, they mix with different people, so that what is also happening. So that is my contribution.
JazakAllah for that, my brother.
MashaAllah, can I just quickly make mention of how important that is to make dua and sadaqah on behalf of your child? Extremely important. I've known of children who've been good throughout their school life, and sometimes they get twisted at the university, and some of them at the university they're okay. Afterwards, when they go out to work, that's when they lose themselves. It's happening to our girls as well, where sometimes they very, very good girls, and suddenly they lose themselves because of the environment they've gone into. So it's important to, over and above whatever we've said, give out a sadaqah for them, make a lot of dua for them. May Allah make it easy. JazakAllah for that beautiful point.
Once again, we are running against time, and we don't have much time to cover all the messages, but I'm going to take some of them. This one reads, Murana, introspection. Muraqaba in the morning and muhasaba in the evening. Our kids are never too young to put practice into their life and form a habit to it. Just have a quick comment on that.
I think we've addressed it to a certain extent, and not only the children but even the adults. I find it extremely beneficial every day. You know, you have to just sit and rewind the day that you have. Perhaps in the morning you want to try and set out a plan of what you're going to do and so on. It's not something that is so formal whereby you need to write things down and jot things down, although some people prefer to do that. It helps them. But even if you just sit for 5-10 minutes on your own and you try and think what happened through the day and how best can I actually improve myself, and we try and search for how we can improve, not necessarily where we went wrong, because sometimes you might not be able to look at where you went wrong. A lot of people would, but not everyone can. So rather than that, you say, how can I improve? I spoke to this person, I should have spoken better. So you take account of all of it. It's extremely important.
The next one reads, Muftisab, that the father allows the children to go out, smoke, watch TV, etc., and the mother is totally against it all. This is causing a break in the home and the marriage.
That is a very, very big problem we are facing today, where the parents have different ways of bringing up their children. One is very loose with them and the other one is extremely strict with them, or one wants something reasonable and the other one is spoiling it all. I think they need to sit together and discuss the matter behind closed doors and come onto one platform to say, look, these are the children, we need to, why are you doing what you're doing, let's explain, and then they must explain and the other one explains, and they come to the grounds that will be most pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The worst thing for a child is to get conflicting instructions from the two different parents. That can mess up the child, where the mother says, don't do this, and father says, no problem. And then the father says, don't do this, and mother says, no, go and do it. That will actually create chaos and disaster in the life of the child. You know, I normally have a habit in my own home, when the mother is reprimanding, I stay out of it. When I'm reprimanding, the mother stays out of it. If anything, if I want to get involved, I must get involved on a similar line. Maybe a different tone, but a similar line. But I will never, if my children are being reprimanded, I will never ever come in and say no, and you know, argue with the mother to say you were wrong or you were this or you were that. No matter what. Or you do not give conflicting instructions as parents to the same child, because that teaches them there is a loophole here and all this is just a show. May Allah forgive us.
Ameen. Mufti Saab, we've got about a minute left. We'll take your concluding remarks.
I think it's important for us all to realize that we're heading back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's one of the most important factors that will keep us focused. If you stay focused, وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ, each nafs, each person must actually look at what they have prepared to present for tomorrow. And I think that will keep us going and it will help us improve as young people who are growing up. It will help us all, inshallah, be focused in a way that we would earn the pleasure of Allah, seek a lot of forgiveness for the sins we know we've committed, and so many sins that we don't even realize that we have committed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us all. It's indeed a very, very important topic. We could go on and on, and I'm sure everyone has a lot. Also, what I'd like to say is, share your experiences and listen to the experiences of others regarding their children sometimes, because there are so many different solutions that people have implemented and adopted that have worked that sometimes we don't know about. It's all, you know, it's a learning curve. We, because the environment keeps changing, we keep learning different types of solutions from people who have been through these things. So that's important as well. Wallahu a'lam.
Mufti Saab, jazakumullah khairan for your time, much appreciated, and we hope to speak to you next week also, inshallah.
Barakallahu feek, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.